Christmas story indeed, God with us, which is what Emmanuel means, God with us. And may we never become so used to the idea. We've all grown up kind of knowing about Christmas and thinking of the baby Jesus. May we never take it for granted, get used to it. May it never be a small thing in our hearts that God did indeed come and dwell in the flesh among us, for us. Near the end of his life, W.C. Fields, some of you remember W.C. Fields, but near the end of his life, he was seen sitting in a garden outside his house perusing through the Bible, which was an activity that was not common for W.C. Fields. And someone asked him what he was doing. What are you doing looking in the Bible? And he said, looking for loopholes. I don't know how serious he was about that. But it may well be that he was kind of looking for a way out after living, you know, less than what we would say was a righteous life. He was looking for a way out. He was digging through, looking to see if there's something there that says, what I've done is okay. And that is often the case with people. They're analyzing and looking. They're kind of peering into the knothole of a tree when they need to step back and see the forest, right? That the entirety of God's word, Genesis to Revelation, you'll never find anywhere that it says, yeah, it's okay. There's no loopholes. And that's really good news. We don't have to worm our way through anything. God did indeed send his son. That is the gospel message of the entire scripture. Not that we've done okay or we've not done too many bad things or we've done enough good things. We've not done enough anything good and we've done way too much bad that we can never get across. That is the story of the gospel, right? We hear it here often. We're going to hear it again that we have been and remain separated from God by sin. This is what took place in the garden, and it has been permanent up until this time and will be again until Christ returns. But we cannot get across that void on our own. There is no way across that chasm of sin back to a relationship with God. There's no loophole. There's no secret passage. There's no pathway around this place or that. But what there is a God who loves us so much that he sent his son into this world, right? To live a life we couldn't live, perfectly obeying God's law. To die the death that we deserved. To live again. And praise God, one day he's coming back to take all who have put their trust in him into a wonderful, eternal, truly permanent life with him. Too many people miss this story because, well, some, like W.C. Fields, are looking for loopholes, or they're looking for clues or codes somewhere hidden in Scripture when the story is plain and obvious. Some take it too lightly. Some don't trust Scripture at all. Still others miss the story because they come to hear and to listen, but they don't understand and won't put in the effort to overcome their lack of understanding. That's why Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. 2 weeks ago, we talked about listening and asking and learning. Remember that Jesus told this parable, and before he explained it, he had told a parable to a large, huge crowd of people. Luke said that came from town after town after town to come and listen. And he told a parable that no one could understand, but only a few came up and said, Lord, what did you mean? And then he explained it to them. And then last week we talked about God's word and all the facets of what the word of God is and who the word of God is, that it is God's holy scripture, that it is the Holy Spirit, that it is Jesus. Jesus is God's communication with us. And so today we return to this parable, and we're going to move on just a little past where we have been. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Luke 8, verse 4. Almighty God, as we open your word this morning, we all have ears. Lord, help us to hear. We all have minds. Help us to understand. We all have the ability to ask. So if we hear things we don't understand, may we ask. We all have the ability to go and to do and to say, so may we be so moved by your word. Your word. May we be so moved by the Holy Scriptures. May we be so moved by the salvation we have from your Son. May we be so moved and encouraged and emboldened by your Holy Spirit that we would go to the people to whom you call us, say the things that you would have us say. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 8, picking up at verse 4. And when the great crowd was gathering and people came from town after town, came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and it grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for those in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not come to be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Jesus here continues to press the idea of the importance of good listening, of good hearing. He says, take care, then, how you hear. Not just that you're there as the air is being vibrated with sound waves that are falling upon you. He says, take care how you hear. So let's look again and get this parable about the seed, which is the seed is God's word and the soil is the heart of man. And Jesus explains it this way, going back to verse 11. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes the word away. He compared it earlier to the birds coming and taking. The path was that area around which they would farm, which we can't think of farms like today where they're out digging up the soil and then throwing the seed in, but they would go along and scatter the seed and then come and cover it. And some places where they walked frequently around the edges were hard packed, and the seed would not get into the ground, and it was left there, and the birds would come indeed and eat it. And he says, this is Satan coming and taking away those who have hardened hearts. Then he says, the ones on the rock are those when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. This is an individual not taking full or putting full trust into the word of God. But church, I would also say this is the church not investing time into the lives of those who are hearing. This is why Jesus didn't say, just go and preach and tell everyone. He said what? Go and make disciples. Then he talks about that which falls among the thorns. As they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. These are those who hear the word of God, but then the world gets in the way. Good stuff and bad stuff. People who have times that are so hard, they turn away from God or never turn fully to him. And those who get so much good stuff in the world, wealth and things, stuff. You know, we talked to the youth group the other night about some statistics. You know, did we feel like we're rich? Anyone in the room that was rich? And I don't remember the numbers exactly, but basically if you have a roof over your head and a reasonably reliable means of transportation, and you get to eat three times a day, you're, I think it's among the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world. So I think that's all of us. 95% of the world has less than we do. And yet we get caught up by what we don't have or what we do have instead of turning to the thing that we most need. And then he says the good soil. There are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And he said in the first part, 100-fold. So there's 5 things I'd like us to remember this morning, and let's have ears to hear and let's be careful how we hear it. One is that God calls everyone to hear the word. 2 is that hearing the word is spiritual warfare. 3 is that there needs to be a response to the hearing. 4, we must do what we can to prepare the hearts of others. And 5, the final point, but the thing that we need to do first, is we need to prepare our own hearts. 1, the brief but important point, God calls everyone to hear the word. We see in this parable that all different kinds of people heard the word. We know from the Great Commission that Jesus sends us to all the world, and we can follow the paths of the apostles after Jesus ascended, right? That they went and began to move through all the world. And turn with me, if you will, to Romans 10, 14 through 17. Because we know there are some that have not heard, right? Paul asked these questions. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ. It's important how we hear, and it's important that we tell everyone everyone. How can they believe if they have not heard? The second point, hearing the word is spiritual warfare. Back to our Luke passage. In verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Some people in the world may be indifferent to your spiritual status. Some people in the world may not care whether or not you're saved. We do. But there's only one who wants you not to be saved, and that is Satan himself. And he lives to keep God's people away from God. Not because he cares about you. Not because he's trying to populate hell, but because he hates God. Satan and his followers, their purpose is to try to steal the glory from God. None of us are so important that Satan spends any time thinking about us other than how, by taking us in his mind, he can steal the glory from God. Further, it's warfare. We see in verse 13, it's the flesh, right? It's those of us who don't invest in the word. That's why we have to guard our hearts. And the third way that it's warfare is in verse 14. We have to battle against the world. So everyone needs to hear the word. Hearing the word is spiritual warfare. The third thing is there is, or there should be, a response to the hearing. Verse 15 is very rich. As for those in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast. We don't use fast in this way a whole lot. We've been singing a song here lately, "He Will Hold Me Fast." And it's that way. It's that way that we're talking about this here. Strong with everything, held together, not letting go. Has nothing to do with speed. It's not holding quickly. It's holding fast, holding steady, as in steadfast. In an honest and good heart. And bear fruit. Something should happen to us when we hear God's word. We know that, right? We drive through, if we're among those here, not among those here who are planting fields, we are driving past their fields and we see the crops, right? If we saw them planting and saw nothing growing later, we would know that there is a problem. If seed is planted into good soil and it is cared for, then there should be a response. There should be fruit growing. And not just a little, but a lot. Jesus said 100-fold. The fourth thing, we must do what we can to prepare the hearts of others. Now, we have a limited responsibility. People have a responsibility themselves for responding to the word of God. But we must do all that Scripture tells us about treating other people. They asked Jesus one day, "What's the most important commandment?" And he said, "It's this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." No one asked him what the second greatest commandment was, but Jesus told them anyway because it's right there with the first. He said the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't separate those two. John wrote later in one of his epistles that those who say they love God and don't love their neighbor are liars. We must love our neighbors. That is loving God. Loving others is loving God. And I think that helps prepare others' hearts, other non-believers, for hearing God's word. It's softening the soil. It's preparing the soil. You may be doing that for an opportunity that you have to share the gospel with them, or just by your presence in someone's life. You may be softening their hearts for someone else to speak to them. So I think it's the way we work, how we are at school, the way we drive, the way we shop, the way we speak or don't speak to our neighbors when we're out getting the mail. I think we do all we can to soften the hearts of others. Scriptures tell us sometimes we'll share the gospel and it will be rejected. But that's the decision of the hearer. We do all we can to prepare. It's love. That should be the hallmark of a Christian, right? They wrote a song about it. They'll know we are Christians by what? By our anger, by our willingness or ability to debate, by what we stand against. Is that how they'll know Christians? No, the scriptures say they'll know we are God's people. They'll know we are Christians by our love. John 13:35, by this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's how we live our everyday lives. And in doing that, I think we so prepare as much as we can, as best as we can, help prepare others' hearts to hear the word of God. And the last point in this message, but it needs to be the first thing we do, and that's to prepare our own hearts and guard them. Turn with me to Psalm 51. When the Townsends and I were in Louisville this last spring at the T4G conference, a young man named David Platt got up and talked about the British and Scottish reformers and how for the crime of passing scripture in a language that could be read by the people were beheaded and burned at the stake. Story after story of walking by with wives and children in the crowd as they were being led to lose their lives. These people who I would say are the pinnacle of faith. And yet, each of them being led to their death over that number of years that this took place, that this persecution took place, as they were being led to the stake to be burned, or to the gallows to be hung, or to the guillotine to lose their heads, as they were going, they would quote aloud Psalm 51, as if they themselves were seeking out this: have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Not have mercy on me, save me from the stake. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, my sin ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. These who, again, I would say were at the pinnacle of the Christian faith, were praying at the moments before their death, create in me a clean heart, O God. If they needed to, I really need to. And I trust I'm not the only one. We need our hearts to be prepared. These aren't just separate things. You don't have to just Google the scriptures and see where the word heart pops up. This is what God is teaching throughout Scripture. To hear his word, we must have our hearts prepared. Some may think that when Jesus said to the disciples, you know, the parables have been given to reveal truth to those who are interested and conceal it from those who are not interested, that he was separating one from the other, but I think at least in part, some of them who came and asked were showing their interest and then had the truth revealed to them. We need to ask God for clean hearts, hearts that are prepared to hear his word. One more reference, Matthew 10. I know I ask you to flip around a lot in here, and I was watching a seminar on sermon preparation. They were talking about using different things to make points and different examples and illustrations and that kind of thing. And they talked about that, hey, you have to be careful about using popular cultural references because they open up into other things. If you haven't studied who that singer is or what that actor does in other times, you may open up something you don't want to by sharing something from them. And I heard one guy say, and I just loved and appreciated it so much because I do agree, while sometimes those things are fitting and useful, we have no better examples or illustrations that can be found elsewhere in Scripture. The Scripture teaches itself. It explains itself. So Matthew 10, verse 10. I'm sorry, I'm at the wrong place. Matthew 15, verse 10. Thank you. And thank you, Kathy, for getting it right in the bulletin. And he, being Jesus, called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. There's hearing again. Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Because they were talking about washing your hands and washing dishes and that kind of thing. He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. For out of the heart come these things. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. And that's made in part by much time spent in God's word. You know, one of the other references in that seminar I was watching, they said, you're careful when you move away from the things you plan to say and something, a response from the congregation or something else might cause you just to say something off the cuff. Well, what comes out off the cuff will be what is planted in here. So we must be cautious. But not just those of us who stand on this side, those of us who are seated on that side, we must be cautious what we allow in our hearts. And even if we don't allow much filth into our hearts, it starts that way to begin with. And that's why we pray to God, create in me a clean heart. So we begin by preparing our hearts with that. Creating a clean heart. And then we prepare our hearts by making an effort to hear God's word. You know, you don't have to make any effort to hear entertainment. You can turn on the TV, you can go sit in the movie theater, and what comes out is just there. But this is different. When you hear God's word, it's different. Some of the best things that you can do is to read. And you know where we are, right? We're in the book of Luke. If you're not visiting, you should maybe giggle at that. But we're in the book of Luke. We've been here for a long time. We'll be here for a long time. You know where we are. We should be reading ahead of time what we're going to be hearing on Sunday morning, hearing from God's word, preparing ourselves for that by reading that. We should come here ready to listen. You know, at the elders' meeting the other night, we talked about when we come here on Sunday morning, we're coming as a day to work. As if it's a work day. Not work in a way that we would complain or dislike, but work in the way that God intended when he put Adam in the garden to work it. We're here to do God's work. We're here to serve you. And we want you to come ready to listen and be served. So reading ahead of time, maybe studying this passage ahead of time. There's so many good, valuable tools available now. And then back to Luke 8:15. Hearing the word, holding it fast, in an honest and good heart, bearing fruit with patience. So we've come ready to hear, and then we hear, and perhaps there's some things that we don't understand. So there's things we can do about that. We can pray. We can reread it. We can read the context around it. We can study it. We can talk about it. We can call and email and ask questions about it. Probably in that order. Should always start with prayer. But there is work to do. But it is good work. It is the best thing that you will do. It is the most fruitful thing that you will do. But it is work. God is bringing his all. We need to give our all to him. There's a little book called The Pursuit of Holiness, and many of you have heard me quote this a number of times by a guy named Jerry Bridges, who just passed away a few months ago. But he says, if you don't understand agriculture, you're missing some stuff about understanding the Bible. And I've so often misquoted, I just want to read this directly to make sure I get it right. A farmer plows his field, sows the seed, fertilizes, and cultivates, all the while knowing that in the final analysis, he is utterly dependent on forces outside of himself. He knows that he cannot cause the seed to germinate, nor can he produce the rain and sunshine for growing and harvesting the crop. For a successful harvest, he is dependent on these things from God. Yet, the farmer knows that unless he diligently pursues his responsibilities to plow, plant, fertilize, and cultivate, he cannot expect a harvest at the end of the season. In a sense, he is in a partnership with God. He will reap its benefits only when he has fulfilled his own responsibilities. Farming is a joint venture between God and the farmer. The farmer cannot do what God must do. And God will not do what the farmer should do. You hear that? God could plant seed and fertilize and cultivate. God could, but he will not. He has given us that job to do. And then he does all the rest. And he does the final conversion of the seed into a plant. People have found ways to speed that process up. They found ways to make it happen in different ways, but no person has yet learned how to take a seed and do something to it and turning it into a stalk of corn. That's the work of God. But for us to receive a harvest, internal and external, there is work that we must do. God is bringing it all. He's giving his all. He gave his all in his son, and yet we must give all to him. We must work. Not for our salvation. Never let it be said that I mix those two up. Our salvation is a free gift from God. But to grow, to stay, to disciple, to bring others in, we must work. It is the reason we were created. And we get so much. God calls everyone to hear the word, so we must share it. Hearing the word is spiritual warfare. We must fight for it. There is a response to hearing. We must receive it and do our best to understand it. We must do what we can to prepare the hearts of others. We must love them. And we must, church, prepare our own hearts. And it's worth it. Amen.